The Giant's Gamble, Chapter 18, The Sewers. Martine clutched the edge of the ship as they soared up into the clouds. "This is a provocation," he said seriously.
"What is?" Killian asked.
The dark-skinned captain turned to them.
"Imrith, the blue dragon, if she's in Klaus' domain, she has started something."
They all nodded, remaining quiet. Finally, Thea spoke up.
"We need to get to Miramar next. We have things to sell and supplies to get before the next leg of our journey."
Feeling tired and not altogether talkative, Rune found a quiet spot below deck and pressed his forehead to the symbol on his staff. As they traveled southwest, he prayed, feeling wholly uncomfortable with their path ahead. Soon, the thick walls of the dwarven city of Miramar came into view. Rune stood on the deck, watching the crew anchor the floating ship a fair distance from the city and dropping the rope ladder. They climbed down, leaving Martine and his crew aboard and promising to keep in contact with Rune's sending spell. Killian and Thea were able to use simple fly and levitation spells to bring Evelyn's horse to the ground, and the girl promised she would sell the beast once they were inside the walls. They entered the city without trouble, buying some simple supplies and spending time in various shops to purchase healing potions and spells for their wizard. Evelyn sold her horse and came back with two happily barking mastiffs, which she named Davis and Daisy. Despite Killian's warnings that the dogs would not fare well in their travels, the girl insisted on keeping them. Rune found a hat that he liked the style of, and the shopkeeper explained that it was the Hat of Vermin, a magical hat that could produce either frog, rat, or likewise when tipped just so. Rune excitedly purchased the expensive accessory and immediately placed it on his head. They bedded down for the night in an inn called the Hammer of Lightning. Thea hired her usual company for the evening, purchasing her own private room for the escapades. The rest split two rooms and went to sleep with the hopes that a full night's rest would give them time to decide where to go next. The following morning, Rune woke early and was just finished dressing when Killian said in a groggy voice,
"Where are you going so early?"
Rune shrugged self-consciously. "I thought I'd find a temple and spend the day healing people who need it." Killian raised his eyebrows and sat up.
"Really?"
Then his eyes turned suspicious.
"I feel guilty," Rune admitted, "about Harshnag," he added to Killian's look of confusion. "I need to make it right."
"That is very unlike you, Rune," the sailor said.
"It was just a feeling I had," he told him.
"All right," Killian relented. "I'll let the others know. Be safe. Don't get into any trouble."
"Nor you," Rune smirked half-heartedly, cracking open the door and slipping outside. Beatrice meowed at once and scratched at the door, and Rune opened it again.
"Oh, all right then, come along."
The Tressum purred happily and trotted ahead. The streets of Miramar were busy with children and merchants running about or carting supplies. He noticed a few elven children with dirty faces and tattered clothes, which he found a rather surprising and unusual sight. On the islands, the elves were highborn and wealthy. Even Thea was the very sight of a pompous elf. To see an elven child in hard times would be an incredible shame to his family and their kin. In fact, it would be an impossibility, unallowable. Here, though, the elves seemed to be the lowest race. Humans and dwarves cast scathing glances at the downtrodden souls. Rune passed an elf woman with her small child, who were crouched beside a low stone building and holding out a clay pot, begging for coin. Rune smiled kindly to her and touched two fingers to his forehead, as was custom to the elves of Evermeet. "Tidings," he said, dropping several weighty coins into the pot. The woman looked surprised, but quickly thanked him as he carried on. The need for atonement was not satisfied by this action, but the opportunity became clear almost at once.
"Please," a woman's voice was shouting pleadingly, "please, he's my grandson. He's been missing for days. Won't someone help?"
Rune jogged to the street and saw an elderly elven woman sobbing into a raggedy shawl, grasping at a human soldier's arm desperately.
"Get off me."
The man shook her hand off roughly, then waved a hand at her.
"Get away!"
"What's happened?" Rune asked her, and she turned to him and sunk to her knees, so their eyes were level, clutching his hands.
My grandson, she sobbed. He's been taken and no one will do anything about it.
Taken? By whom? When? Rune looked around and spotted a bench a few yards away. He noticed the glare of the soldier and patted the woman's hands. Come with me, over here where we can speak freely. She got painfully to her feet and they both sat. Rune jumped easily onto the small bench, which had been made for dwarves, whereas the elf woman had to crouch low. Tell me everything, he told her.
Thank you, she said, wiping her lined face with her hands.
Rune could only guess as to how many hundreds of years old the elf woman was. Don't thank me just yet, Rune warned her. I haven't done anything. Just tell me what happened.
My grandson, Lee, he was taken 3 days ago.
Do you know who took him, or why? Rune kept his voice steady, which seemed to calm her. She shook her head bitterly.
There are stories, of course.
She cast a nervous glance back at the soldier across the way.
Every 10 years, they say, little elves go missing. The authorities don't look into it.
She lowered her voice.
I blame the dwarves. Elfkind aren't taken well to in these parts.
Rune couldn't help but feel dubious over a legend. Where was your grandson, Lee, when he was taken? And did you see what did it? She shook her head fiercely, some of her white hair coming undone from her messy braid.
He was playing out by the sewers where all the elf children play.
The sewers, Rune said, unable to keep the judgment from his voice.
They're not allowed anywhere else, she said in a biting tone. They're always being chased off by the others.
And there's nothing else you can tell me? Nothing at all?
Please, she began sobbing anew. Please find him.
Rune took a deep breath, then said, take me to the sewers where he went missing. I'll see what I can do. The woman got to her feet rather unsteadily, then wobbled down the street, Rune trailing behind her. Beatrice flapped her wings and soared over them, keeping her gnome master in sight. Rune saw that indeed there were many dirty-faced elven children running around the entrance to the sewers, playing with sticks or brawling. The younger ones were drawing in charcoal on the cobblestone street, while the ones breaching adulthood were covertly passing smoking pipes and uncorking bottles of fire whiskey despite the early morning hours. None seemed to be enrolled in any form of education, religious or otherwise. Rune sent the woman home, assuring her he would find her if he had any news. She gave him an address to a group home, then shuffled away, wringing her hands anxiously. Rune examined the grated entrance to the sewers. It was large enough for Killian to stand to his full height inside. Rune closed his eyes and cast his mind to Killian's, speaking a message into his mind. Killian, I'm by the entrance to the sewers. A woman has told me her grandson Lee is missing. I'm going to check it out. The sailor responded immediately, his voice unsure.
Be careful, Rune. You don't know what's down there. I'll tell the others where you are.
He paused.
Can't get caught up in every sob story.
Rune spent a few minutes observing the elves and found a few adults and asked about the tale of the missing children. Some had heard of it. Most didn't believe it. Others had been around long enough to know children had gone missing before, but that it could be any manner of things. No one saw the boy Lee go missing either.
Rune?
Rune spun around and saw Opal standing there. Opal, what are you doing here?
Killian told us you were helping people, the Genasi said with a bright smile. Can I help too?
Certainly, he said, feeling relieved. Where's everyone else?
Oh, Thea said she needed to spend the day, studying, she smiled apologetically. And Evelyn and Killian are just around the corner. Something about training Davis and Daisy and making money off it?
Rune had enough sense, not to mention that it sounded like Evelyn wanted to put the animals into a fighting pit for money. He wouldn't doubt that's what the girl was up to. He only hoped Killian kept an eye on her.
Right. Well, here's what I've learned so far.
Rune explained the dilemma, and they agreed to search the tunnels for signs of the missing boy. I can polymorph into a creature for a short while, Rune offered. Then, at least if we do run into trouble, we'll both be rather well disguised. Opal agreed, and they opened the grating. No one around seemed to care what they were up to, so they slipped inside without obstacle. Opal used her druidic wild shape to transform into a large bat. Rune copied her, using a different spell to nearly the same effect. With a screech, they set off, flapping their wings through the darkness. The sound bounced off the curved stone walls and guided them forward over the wet, reeking floors. Rune's spell wore off when they were deep inside the sewers, and he waved to Opal, who flew to land next to him on the tiny walkway beside the river of sludge. "I'll try to look for magical auras," he told her. "Go on further and meet me at the entrance of the sewers." Opal screeched and flew off, and Rune cast his detection spell as he trotted off back the way they came. Another hour passed before Opal caught up to him. "I found some cold spots in the deeper parts of the sewers," she told him. "I followed them and found another tunnel. It wasn't carved like the rest. It looped away and I went down it. It smelled better once I got to a big room full of little, gnome statues. There was a door at the end of the room, but..." She held up her now transformed hands. "I couldn't open it as a bat, and I didn't want to set off any kind of traps." "That's good work," Rune nodded appreciatively. "I want to investigate it, but I don't think we should go without our friends." They clambered back into the sunlight, smelling much worse than Rune would have liked, and Opal led him to the dogfight. "A bit early for animal cruelty, no?" Rune said loudly as they approached the ring, which was currently empty. A few other humans and elves looked up at this, murmuring as they dispersed, clearly unsure if he was an authority, but not willing to stick around long enough to find out. Killian turned to look at them, startled. Evelyn was throwing scraps of what looked like petrified mice down to her dogs, who began playing with them. Rune saw Daisy had a large gash in one leg, and Davis was limping slightly. Rune crossed his arms, and Opal gasped, running to the dogs and putting her arms around them.
I didn't know," Killian said quickly. "Not until the fight started, anyways. It happens a lot, you know, in the cities around the docks."
Evelyn was smiling serenely, clearly unaware that any faux pas had been made. Rune thought he saw her tucking away some gold.
"We can talk about that later," Rune said. "Look, Opal and I might have found something interesting in the sewers. A room with a door. I say we investigate. The boy could be locked up somewhere inside."
"And what I said about not getting involved?" Killian asked.
Rune stared at him pointedly. "We need to help." Killian nodded grimly, then pulled out a fist-sized stone from his pocket.
"Thea gave me this. She said it's a sending stone. I should be able to talk through it and hear her response."
He pressed it to his ear, then shook it with scrunched eyebrows.
"I'm not really sure how it works."
"Didn't she give you a word to use?" Evelyn asked vaguely.
"Ah, right, of course."
Killian cleared his throat, then spoke into the stone.
"Thea, meet us at the entrance to the sewers. We have a mission."
There was a pause before the response. It began with a long sigh.
"I'm on my way."
Another pause.
"I do hope it's something we're getting paid for."
It was a slow and careful journey through the sewers as they tried their best to avoid touching the slimy walls or slipping into the slow-moving river of brown. Small rats squeaked and skittered in the darkness, and Thea was often heard muttering unhappily behind all of them as she walked.
"If it weren't for a fellow elf," she said under her breath, and not for the first time.
Beatrice flew over their heads, occasionally swooping down after one of the rats. The room was as Opal had described it. They cautiously entered and saw a door with a lever next to it. In the room, there were at least a dozen rats amongst the 20-odd gnome statues. The rats' mangy brown and gray forms wriggled and moved away as they entered with their lit torches. One of the rats stood on a dusty table. It raised itself on its hind legs as they entered and stared at them strangely, then bolted for the door, leapt up onto the lever, and pushed it down. Before any of them could react to the strangeness of that, various slits along the walls opened, and darts whizzed in every direction. Rune felt several strike him before he was able to throw himself to the ground. The dogs yelped and barked as they were hit, and Rune heard several heavy things fall around him. He moved to pluck out one of the darts and felt his vision go blurry.
"We've been..."
His voice was failing him, and he felt numb all over.
"We've been poisoned."
He thought he saw the heads of some of the statues turn. Then everything went dark. Thea barely managed to get to her feet once the darts stopped. She pulled a couple out of her arm and cast them aside, looking around. Rune and Opal and the two dogs in the tressum were unconscious. Killian was moaning and Evelyn drew her swords, looking paler than usual. Thea turned as she saw the statues move. She threw up a wall of fire to separate the room, but the fire sputtered and went out.
"What?"
A small goblin stepped out of a dark corner, holding a wooden staff with a squirrel sitting atop it, very still as though it were stuffed.
"No, no," the goblin said grimly, shaking his finger. "No spells."
Its voice was rather high-pitched and wheezy. Then the statues attacked all at once, running at them with little angry battle cries. They held up clawed stone hands and began scratching at whatever they could reach. The rat standing on the lever spun on the spot and transformed into a small imp with little red horns and a forked tail. It hissed and went invisible. Killian threw out his hands, and some of the statues exploded around him. He waded through the little forms as they slashed his legs and grabbed Rune, shaking him awake. Rune muttered, and his eyes opened into slits.
"Get them, Nibbles!"
the goblin cried, and the squirrel atop his staff hunched its back and caught Evelyn and Killian in its gaze. The two of them went still, their faces turning into blank expressions. They began walking towards the goblin.
"No!"
Thea shouted, batting the little statues away from her as she tried to grab her hypnotized friends. The goblin started to glow brightly until it was a blinding light. Thea threw up her arms to shield her eyes from it, and felt the statues crawling up her and weighing her down. Rune started to get to his feet, but the statues grabbed his arms and legs and pinned him to the ground, and he felt the poison bring him back into unconsciousness. Thea tried shooting fire wildly, but her spells were again blocked by the goblin. The elf was the only one left to fight. She thrashed and swore and felt jagged claws ripping at her skin and hair.
"Enough!"
A woman's powerful voice came from the door, but the light was still too bright to see her. "Surrender now, or we will finish you." The statues paused in their assault.
"We surrender," Thea said breathlessly, throwing up her hands and sending a few of the statues tumbling off her.
Shackles appeared magically and clamped themselves on her wrists. The bright light faded, and she saw Killian and Evelyn shaking themselves out of their hypnosis. The squirrel had gone completely still on the goblin's staff, again looking like it was stuffed. Opal stirred on the ground, but Rune was out cold. Soon, they were all shackled and pushed to their feet, all except Rune, who Killian carried in his arms. The statues skittered back to their tables and clambered onto them, returning to their frozen, whimsical stances.
"Keep an eye on them, Hiccup," the woman said, then swept away in her midnight blue robes, leaving them all with the goblin, Hiccup.
"Come on, then,"
Hiccup wheezed, and the shackles pulled them through the door and into another chamber. They followed the goblin down a hallway, and he opened another heavier door, inside which sat two large cells. Their weapons and bags zoomed off them and flew into a cupboard, which slammed shut after. The unconscious mastiffs and Tressum floated in and were settled on the ground in the corner. The prisoners were pulled inside one of the cells, and their shackles suddenly snapped up and dragged them against the wall backwards, pinning them all to it and leaving their toes hanging. They all protested as their heads hit the stone wall, and Hiccup closed the cell door, locking it with a ring of keys, then sitting on a stool and staring at them grimly. His squirrel climbed into his hands, and he began to stroke it.
"Yes, good work, Nibbles. I think she never even noticed you this time."
Killian glanced over at Rune, who was still unconscious and pale. He wet his lips nervously, but Opal spoke first.
"So, Hiccup?"
"Yes,"
the goblin said, sitting straight on his stool.
"You like to watch people?"
Opal demanded, wriggling her wrists in the shackles. Hiccup smiled hesitantly.
"That's a,
Killian looked at the goblin. "Nice squirrel you have there."
"Yes," Hiccup squeaked. "His name is Nibbles."
"That's a nice name," Killian said, glancing around their cell.
"Well, it's Sir Nibblesworth the Seventh,"
Hiccup explained seriously, still petting the squirrel's head. The squirrel watched him with beady black eyes, nose twitching.
"What happened to the other six?" Killian asked kindly.
The goblin looked at the door, then leaned in and said in a quiet voice,
"Isabel."
"Isabel, is that the woman's name?"
The goblin nodded.
"What does this woman do for you?"
"She doesn't kill me,"
Hiccup shrugged.
"Well, that's good, I suppose. What does Isabel do to people like us?"
"Usually she takes the elves,"
Hiccup said conspiratorially.
"And the others?" Killian pressed.
"Normally she doesn't have the..."
The goblin's voice trailed off and his eyes seemed to bug out, the pupils trailing off in two directions. A bit of drool slid out of his mouth and it went slack, and Killian had to snap his fingers to break the goblin out of it.
"Huh?"
He jumped and wiped his mouth, forcing the squirrel off his lap. It chattered away angrily at him.
"You were saying the others?" Killian asked again.
"Oh, yes. Normally there aren't others, just..."
The goblin paused.
"Just the elves."
Thea huffed impatiently.
"Hiccup," Killian said carefully. "Are there any more people like Isabel, or is it just you and her?"
"Just us, and Nibbles," Hiccup added.
Opal jumped in, sensing the direction Killian was taking the conversation. "So you don't have any colleagues nearby?" Hiccup stared, uncomprehending. "You know," Opal tried to explain, staring at the ceiling in search of the right words. "Co-workers? Co-minions?" She twisted a hand in its shackle. Hiccup continued to stare.
"Big words," he said,
looking intrigued but also lost.
"Hiccup," Thea said finally, "are you a prisoner here? Do you want to go outside?"
She said the words slowly, and the goblin nodded, a crooked tooth grin alighting his face.
"Nibbles would like to go outside and not die."
He patted the squirrel's head, then picked it up and placed it back on his lap.
"We could get you both out of the sewers," Killian assured him, "if you let us out of these shackles first."
The goblin looked nervous, but Killian continued.
"Picture it, Hiccup. A nice, cozy hut up in the mountains, surrounded by lots of space and as many squirrels as you'd like. We could get you away from this horrid woman."
"Sir Nibblesworth would like that,"
the goblin said, and his eyes started to trail in different directions again as he zoned out. Killian snapped his fingers loudly.
"Unlock the cells. Take off the shackles," Killian said. "Let us out."
The goblin stared for a moment, then unhooked the ring of keys from his belt and fitted one into the lock, swinging the barred door open.
"Unlock," he said,
then held up his staff, and their shackles all fell to a loud clatter on the ground. Rune fell limply to the ground, still unconscious.
"Isabel sucks the life out of them."
"She's the one taking the elves," Thea asked, rubbing her wrists.
"She takes the elves for their long life,"
Hiccup looked down at his squirrel and nodded.
"We will help if you can kill the imp."
He stared at them, eyes bugging again.
"She feeds my squirrels to the imp."
"We can do that," Killian promised. "Can we have our stuff back?"
Their weapons and bags flew out of the closet and landed in each of their open arms. Killian quickly rummaged through his and pulled out a healing potion, administering it to Rune. Rune sat up with a gasp, looking around frantically.
"What? How? Where are we?"
the gnome demanded, getting to his feet and pointing at the goblin. "What's going on?"
"It's all right," Killian assured him, glancing at Hiccup. "We've come to an arrangement."
Then he quickly filled his friend in on what transpired. Opal healed Evelyn's dogs and Beatrice back to consciousness as they talked.
"Well," Rune said unhappily, picking up his bag and his staff, "I suppose we ought to find this witch lady then."
"I can show you,"
Hiccup offered. Nibble skittered back to the top of his staff as he threw open the doors and ushered them along. Before they pushed the next door open, Opal summoned a group of small mud creatures with four legs.
"Mud puppies,"
she explained as the little dog-like mud forms ran around her feet excitedly, squashing and leaving puddles wherever they stepped. She pointed to each of them and said their names.
"There's Mud Pie, Mud Puddle, Muddled, Smudge, Mudslide, and Harriet."
They all nodded appreciatively at the little creatures. Davis and Daisy sniffed them curiously, but Beatrice kept her distance, maintaining her feline superiority. Rune dug into his pack and pulled out the small clockwork knight he'd assembled. "I'll put this through the door then," he whispered, "and we'll see what comes out." He wound the toy, and Killian opened the door a crack so the little thing could click, click, click across the ground. It kept going until it hit a far wall, fell over, and continued to click until the gears stopped. They heard a few rats scatter, but nothing else.
"There are more statues in there," Killian murmured, peering through, "but they don't seem to be moving."
"Let's keep an eye out for levers, shall we?" Rune suggested, and Opal sent the mud puppies through first. They ran through the room and sparked nothing, so the rest of them entered. The room was lavish and draped in thick, elaborately designed tapestries. Two large armchairs and a fine woodwork desk took up most of the space, but the little gnome statues were placed on various shelves and decorated tables. Cautiously, they tiptoed through, keeping a wary eye on the unmoving little beasts.
"These statues won't come to life,"
Hiccup assured them in a quiet voice.
"The others were her watch, not these ones."
Then, as an afterthought, he added,
"I painted some of them."
There was a thick scent of incense in the air, probably to mask the scent of sewer, but Rune also noticed vents in the ceiling to bring in fresh air from outside.
"Is it much further?" Killian asked.
"No,"
Hiccup said, taking them to another closed door.
"You'll be able to smell the imp coming. He smells like..."
The goblin trailed off.
"Yes?" Killian asked, bringing him back with more insistent snapping.
"The imp smells like bad eggs."
"Sulfur," Rune said knowingly. All demonic creatures were known to carry the scent. It was a lingering after-effect of the realms below.
"She should be in here,"
Hiccup said, pointing at the door.
"Look out for her wand."
Killian swallowed and reached a hand out for the knob.
"Wait," Rune said,
pulling up his hat and producing a rat, which scurried off his head. Rune grabbed the squirming vermin in his hands and held it up.
"Let's try sending this through first. She might mistake it for the imp."
Killian nodded and opened the door, allowing the rat, which was now frantically thrashing against Rune's grip, to run free.
"Kroor?"
The woman's voice came immediately as the rat squeaked and looked for a dark corner.
"Is that you?"
"Yes,"
Evelyn said in an unconvincingly high-pitched voice from the doorway.
"What?"
the woman said, and Killian threw open the door. The woman had curly brunette hair that reached the small of her back and was pulled away from her distinctly human features. Her eyes were dark and her features sharp and attractive. She wore finely made silk robes. She stood in front of a stone altar, upon which lay the prostrate form of an elderly elven male. Around her were the littered bodies of other elves, fleshless and gray and seemingly long dead. They all ran in at once. Rune shot a magical bolt that the woman just barely managed to duck under. She was hit at the same moment with Thea's blight spell, and she gasped as the magic pulled energy from her. Hiccup ran in with a squeaky battle cry and made to hit her with something magical, but the spell faltered. Rune conjured his spiritual weapon, and the giant middle finger pushed her off her pedestal, where she stumbled and turned angrily toward them. Evelyn had her blades drawn and charged, and Killian's chest erupted with a swirling storm of dark energy and lightning. It hit the woman and threw her back just as Evelyn reached her. The dog stayed back, barking from a safe distance. Rune saw the woman was bleeding from a gash in her cheek left by Evelyn. She had gotten to her feet again, and a glowing shield formed around her. The little mud puppies ran and began leaping at the shield, spewing mud from their mouths, making the floor slippery. Thea ran in with her blade drawn, but the shield was holding up against their blows. Rune's middle finger slammed into it, and after a moment of resistance, the shield burst, and the woman was hit again by a flurry of attacks. Rune saw Killian drop a small, glowing dagger from the belt around his front and run toward the woman, then release more lightning straight into her body. The woman screamed as the energy hit her. Evelyn and Thea stepped back from the heat of it.
"Enough!"
she shrieked, then threw down her hands. A swirling mist wrapped around her legs, and in a blur of incredible speed, she zoomed past all of them and through the door.
"After her!"
Thea shouted, pounding after the escaping woman. Rune hesitated, wondering if he should check on the elf atop the altar. He suspected it was the boy, Lee, greatly aged from having the life sucked out of him. His companions all ran for the door, and Rune followed behind, casting spiritual guardians that whipped around him as a sharp tornado of playing cards. They heard clattering and saw through the door into the lavish room that there were stone gnomes, now awake and charging after them, and in their forefront, the imp in its devilish form. It hissed at them. Isabel had already blurred past them and escaped through the door. Evelyn and Thea were smashing the statues left and right. Killian seemed to have cast something on the imp, leaving it blank and confused. Opal's mud puppies had just passed all of them and were spewing mud, tripping several of the little things and causing some of them to shatter into pieces. A few of them got hold of the imp and tore it apart with their little teeth. Opal shot a thunderous wave through the room and more of the statues went flying against the walls. Hiccup finally caught up to them, and an explosion of fire rocked the room as he threw his spell into the midst of the statues. When the creatures moved too close to Rune, his card guardians slashed them apart. Killian ran to Evelyn and shouted,
"Want to help me kill a wizard?"
The white-haired girl nodded, and Killian grabbed her arm. Then, in a flash, the two of them disappeared through a door that appeared there for one moment and was gone the next.
"Opal!"
Thea shouted, reaching out and grabbing the druid's hand. She stepped, and the two of them shot forward, leaving an explosion behind them. More statues went flying, and only a few remained. Rune shot bursts of white flames at them as he ran through the room, and Opal turned, and with a final, thunderous roar, shook the room and shattered the last remaining statues. They all took a moment to catch their breath.
"We need to go after her," Thea said, holding a stitch at her side.
Rune turned and looked behind him and saw Beatrice sitting by the doorway, calmly licking her paw. She looked up at him, meowed, then continued her bathing. Honestly, Rune admonished. Let's go, Thea said, and they ran. Listening to The Giant's Gamble by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Storm King's Thunder D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, you can visit my blog at alexisfienendahl.com or click the link provided in the show notes.